You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
It was the worst earthquake in about at least 200 years in Haiti, and we want to hear from you on how Haitian Americans especially are coping with this disaster the morning after as the sun rises over Haiti.
Everything is destroyed in the city. That's my problem to them. I don't know what can I do.
Do you have a message for friends or family or your loved ones who are still there in Haiti, or how are you dealing in the aftermath of the disaster? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytakeatthetakeaway.org.
Let's catch you up on the details. As far as we know them, this morning a 7.0 earthquake struck Haiti's capital yesterday at about 5 p.m. local time, toppling everything from simple shacks to the ornate National Palace. The UN headquarters was devastated. There appear to be serious casualties there, including possibly the head of the United Nations effort in Haiti. The dead and injured lay in the streets, according to grim anecdotal reports, and there were as many as 20 aftershocks. As Celeste mentioned, it's the most powerful quake to hit Haiti in more than 200 years. And we have estimates from the U.S. Geological Survey, which, of course, monitored the magnitude of the quake, that would suggest, based on the forces in play and the density of the population in Port-au-Prince, 1,000 to 2,000 people may have died here. Of course, that's just a scientific estimate on the ground and looking outside and blinking through the sunlight this morning after a hellish night in Port-au-Prince. The people of Port-au-Prince have their own count of the dead and injured. And we're going back to Pooja Bhatia, independent writer, who's standing in the debris of her own apartment there in Port-au-Prince. First of all, what do you make of this estimate of the U.S. Geologic Survey that perhaps 1,000 to 2,000 people have died with some factor of that injured?
I'm not an expert, but I believe it's many, many, many more times than 1,000 or 2,000 people. The fact is, last night we were seeing a lot of very, very, very serious injuries. People with very deep lacerations, parts of their skulls gone. And those are the people who were able to get to, you know, a sort of impromptu aid center for, you know, some alcohol and some gauze and some tape. There are probably thousands of people that are trapped under buildings.
I hear what you're saying. Pooja, we're also hearing the sounds on your Skype connection there of what appears to be a fairly rickety apartment that you're in. Can you just describe the scene in the room where you are?
You know, actually, I mean, we're incredibly lucky. It's, while in our neighborhood there are houses, you know, not 50 feet away that have completely collapsed. For now, the house looks like it's in very good structural condition. I mean, the only problem is that basically a lot of things have broken. A lot of glass has broken. We are extremely lucky.
Indeed. And in the course of our conversations this morning, you've described being out on the street and seeing people with severe injuries, being unable to really help them with anything more than gauze and alcohol, a level of devastation as the sun came up this morning that you could barely even imagine. I mean, I just have to ask, are you doing okay there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so far.
Well, as a journalist, what's your mission today? I mean, there are a lot of numbers to run down. We don't want to play casualty count figures. We want to wait for those to officially come out. But where do you most want to go this morning?
Well, I mean, I'm not really a breaking news journalist. And breaking news, I mean, of course, at a time like this is very compelling. But, I mean, that's not really my forte. What I'd like to do is a story about kind of a feature about all of the impromptu sort of prayer services and songs that people are singing. And, I mean, it seems to me that Haitians, this, at least for the living Haitians, I mean, this has really fortified their already fervent belief in God. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of thank you, Jesus, a lot of alleluia, a lot of, you know, God knows why this has happened.
Well, I can only imagine. And that feels a little more like a breaking news story than a feature to me. Pooja Bhatia is an independent writer joining us from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Laurent Dubois has also been with us this morning. He's a historian and a professor at Duke University. And Laurent, you know the city of Port-au-Prince much better than I do. Do you have a question for Pooja?
I think we're just getting to get a sense of where the damage is, and it sounds like so many different parts of the city have been affected. Are people circulating? Is it possible to move around? Or I know people were telling me last night that it was very difficult to even get a sense of what was going on in different neighborhoods.
Pooja, are people moving around?
People are moving around, but it's difficult. It's difficult. Many of the road networks have been destroyed. And or at least are just really, really blocked so that vehicles can't get through. And, you know, sometimes they're even too blocked to make your way on foot.
I can hear the sounds of friends and family, hopefully, and contacts contacting you on your Skype connection there, Pooja. Laurent Dubois, what do you think, and based on the sort of visuals that we're getting from Pooja Bhatia there, what do you think the availability of heavy equipment is going to be to try to move some of this rubble and save people? Laurent?
I imagine that's going to be a big challenge. I mean, obviously, it's already sometimes complicated just getting around different parts of Port-au-Prince anyway. It's a hilly city, and so that's going to be a major challenge. I mean, I think that the rescue teams are going to face. I'm assuming, and I think that probably neighborhood by neighborhood, people are doing what they can, but obviously they're going to need help from bigger equipment, and I hope that that'll get there quickly.
You know, I don't know much about the sort of religious Catholic history in Haiti, but how are people in Haiti likely to take something like this as a sign, you know, from a higher power that, you know, bad things have happened? Will they take it personally? Will it feel as though it is the fate somehow of Haiti to endure this kind of horror?
Well, I think, you know, people will react to it different ways. I mean, obviously, people, Catholic, Protestant, people who practice voodoo are all going to think about this in different kinds of ways. Obviously, Haiti does, you know, a lot of times does feel like Haiti just has this incredible series of events that have, you know, gone, I mean, really since its beginning as a history as a slave colony and on. So there is a kind of sometimes a sense of just feeling like, you know, it's unbelievable, these kind of crises one after another. At the same time, people, I think, find obviously a lot of solace. I don't know that people will think that, you know, they've been attacked or that something they've done wrong, but maybe just to try to find solace in the religion and community as well.
Well, Laurent Dubois is a professor at Duke University and has studied the history of Haiti. Pooja Bhatia is an independent writer who joined us from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Good luck, Pooja. And an individual who we spoke with from Port-au-Prince, Celeste, I'm reminded, thought when the shocks hit yesterday afternoon that it was happening all over the world.
Right, they were worried about someone
and had to be reassured by a contact in the United States that it was just happening in Haiti.